today as we come to the table.
You know, I spent today and yesterday just saying, Lord, forgive me of any grumbling I've done against you in ways that maybe I have looked at those that were you've put in my life as an authority or circumstance that I have in my life. Whenever I grumble against that, as a believer, do I really believe that God controls my days, that God leads me in all my ways, that God, you know, does all this? If I really believe that and I complain about what's happening, then in reality, who is it I'm complaining against? See, it's easy to look at a person. It's their fault. If they weren't that way, you know. But you got to remember, every single person in your life, God has allowed and or put there for a reason. Even that person that drives you crazy.
We've all got someone who just drives us up a wall, and I'll bet someone just popped into your mind. Well, what Pastor Mark just said is true. God has placed the person or people in your life for a reason. It's tough to think of it that way, isn't it? You'd rather blame them for your bad mood or for circumstances not going right. It's a heart condition we all have to work on. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Now, Pastor Mark's not going to leave you hanging today on what to do about these not-so-easy-to-love people. He'll give you some practical wisdom from the continuing story of Israel's escape from Egypt. There's plenty to apply to your life right now. Well, let's join Pastor Mark in Exodus chapter 16 as he begins his message, Grumbling Against the Lord.
You know, the scripture does say that all that we're reading about in Exodus was written for our instruction so that we wouldn't make the same mistakes. It's really a picture of the Christian walk. We talked about that. It's a literal story that happened, but it paints a picture. God used this literal story to paint a picture of the relationship of the believer to God, our walk when we get saved, coming out of Egypt. You guys know the typology if you've been with us any length of time. And tonight we get to an area where all of us in this room have been guilty. So when I cover this tonight, understand that I'm speaking to myself as well. And so as I was studying this, I already was getting, you know, God working on my heart as well from that end. And I think sometimes some of us have done this and not even known we've done it. And that is grumbling against the Lord. You know, if somebody was to say to me, Mark, you're grumbling against the Lord, my first response would be never. I don't grumble against the Lord. I love God. I love Jesus. Look, you can love God and love Jesus and still grumble against the Lord. And sometimes it's simply because of a misunderstanding. We don't really understand some of the things we're doing that are grumbling against the Lord. And I don't think many of us would want to admit it, but again, the Bible says that it's something that's easy to do. The children of Israel are going to do it the entire 40 years in the wilderness. Now, let me say this. I think that all of us have been guilty of grumbling at some point, probably at some point or another, or will be. It's not so much the grumbling against the Lord, although we wish we never did that. It's continuing to grumble against the Lord. Are you with me? It's one thing to grumble against the Lord. It's another thing to stay stuck in the world of grumbling and not let God grow us and mature us and move us beyond where we are. And so I think tonight, first of all, I think it'd be easy to point out the grumbling that we've done, that we know we've done. That's kind of an easy one. If we know we've grumbled against the Lord, say maybe an obvious one, you know, we get upset with God about something. That's an easy one. We can all say, all right, that's wrong. We know that's wrong. We did that and that's wrong. I mean, really, when you think about it, honestly, guys, I know people do it. But really, how can you ever really legitimately be upset with the Lord? You really can't. Not legitimately. And let me explain that. If God is a perfect, flawless creator who never makes mistakes and is always right, then how can anyone legitimately be upset with him? So what I'm saying is there is no legitimate reason to be upset with God. It doesn't exist. No legitimate reason. However, we as fallen man, we still do it, don't we? You know, we try to think somehow we're right. We justify ourselves. And God, you did me wrong in this one. And God's going, I'm all perfect, all knowing, all seeing, all existing. I have no sin in me, no darkness in me. I'm perfect from beginning to end, so that we can never really truly blame God and ever get away with it. We can do it, but we're guilty. He's not. And that's hard for some of us to hear, but that's the truth. That's what the Bible teaches. Otherwise, God would be guilty of sin, and we know that God has never sinned, and the Bible says never will sin eternally. So we're the ones that are in that place of guilt if it ever happens. Now, and here's the thing. Why does the Bible say that God is always right, and if there's ever anything that is wrong, it's our fault? Because the Bible tells us that God controls every aspect of our life, including our circumstances, in everything. Our circumstances, those that God has put over us in authority, and we're going to see tonight both of these come into play. The circumstances of them grumbling because they don't have any food, and then them grumbling against Moses and Aaron. We would say in the picture, the pastor and the assistant pastor, because really this is just a large church in the wilderness is what this is. And so, you know, there's going to be a whole gambit here to look at as we get into this tonight. And I want to say this, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I can't be guilty of this as well. Now, as I'm teaching this, I'm coming from the angle of seeing them, you know, come toward Moses and come toward Aaron and grumble that way and grumble about their circumstances. And it might be easy for a pastor to beat on the sheep and say, see, that shows you how you guys are, and you never, and this and that, whatever. The truth of the matter is, any one of us, the pastor on down, whatever, if we're talking about Christian leaders in the body of Christ, if we're wrongfully addressing issues about people or whatever the case might be, then we're going to be guilty before the Lord. Now, I'm going to give that balance in a minute because it doesn't mean that we can't evaluate someone's ministry, whether or not they're truly following the Lord or teaching what is right or wrong. What it means is the circumstances in our life and the authorities in our life, whether it's in church or the world, God has placed them there. And it's that understanding that God has placed them there helps us realize whether or not we're really grumbling or not, depending on what happens in our life. And it's interesting because we're going to see tonight that if we handle things the wrong way, we might think we're grumbling against a person, and I put that in quotes, and the Bible says it's really not a person we're grumbling against as believers. We're grumbling against the Lord. And why is it against the Lord? Because God is controlling all of our circumstances. And since God is controlling all of our circumstances and all of the people in our life and all those that are over us, whether it be a worldly authority or a spiritual authority or whatever, if we grumble against that and it's not a biblical reason to be maybe upset for whatever, we're grumbling in reality, the Bible says, against the Lord. Now, that's heavy duty because I know I've been guilty of that. You know, I spent today and yesterday just saying, Lord, forgive me of any grumbling I've done against you in ways that maybe I have looked at those that were you've put in my life as an authority or a circumstance that I have in my life. Whenever I grumble against that, as a believer, do I really believe that God controls my days, that God leads me in all my ways, that God, you know, does all this? If I really believe that and I complain about what's happening, then in reality, who is it I'm complaining against? See, it's easy to look at a person. It's their fault. If they weren't that way, you know. But you got to remember, every single person in your life, God has allowed and or put there for a reason. Even that person that drives you crazy. All of you can think of somebody in your life that drives you crazy. For whatever the reason, they drive you crazy. And when they come around you, guess who put them in your life? God did. If you really believe you're a child of God and God controls all your circumstances, and they think, well, then why would God? That's not God, that's Satan, you know. That's demonic, you know, right? And I'm not saying that God might not even allow Satan to bring somebody into your life to harass you, but if God does that, who still had to give permission for it? The Bible says God had to give permission and has to give permission even for Satan to harass us. So everybody in our life, no matter who it is, no matter what's happening, God has ordained it and God is testing us. He's trying to find out where we are in maturity. He wants to show us where we are. He's trying to find out how we're going to respond. Are we going to say, Lord, I trust you? Or are we going to grumble against the Lord, maybe openly, or grumble against that person, which in essence is grumbling against the Lord? Although that's a hard one for us to swallow, isn't it? It's a lot easier for me to grumble about somebody, but if I think about it being, you know, God's controlling my life, it becomes a little bit more heavy. Now, we need some balance here, and we're going to get into the scripture in a second, don't worry, but we need to lay some groundwork before we do. What is the balance? Does this mean that we can never evaluate our circumstances and or a leader or authority that God has put in our life? No, it doesn't mean that. You can evaluate someone if they're not in line with the Word of God, if they're doing something that's wrong, if they're leading you in a way that's wrong, if they're treating you wrongfully, you can evaluate that and you can run to the Lord and say, God, that's wrong. Lord, this person is treating me wrong. Now, why have you allowed this in my life? What do you want me to learn from this? And God, I pray you to intervene and stop it. So I'm not saying that means that if you have an authority in your life that's treating you bad or a circumstance in your life that's really yucky, that doesn't mean that you can't evaluate it and go to the Lord and say, God, what do you want me to do and what's going on? It also doesn't mean that it may not be wrong. Somebody may be treating you wrong right now as an authority, or there may be a circumstance in your life that's wrong right now. But God's still using it, guys. I think the best example I ever heard was an example of chisels. You know, when you take a rock or a sculpture and you take these chisels and you beat away at the rock is just a rock until you beat away at it and shape it into what you want it to be. And by the time you're done beating away at it, it has a beautiful shape. But if a rock could feel, I mean, what would that be like? You know, hey, hi, what are you doing? I'm just a sculptor. It's fine. What are sculptors? Well, we make things out of rocks. Really? Well, I'm a rock. I know, that's why I'm here. So, what you got in the bag? Well, I got a hammer and some chisels. So what do you do with those hammer and chisels as a sculptor, Mr. Sculptor? Well, I beat on rocks with them until they're the shape I want them to be. Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait, there's a lot of rocks around here. This one, I kind of like the way I am. And you know, I really don't really appreciate you, you know, working on me. Pink, hey. I didn't give you permission. I didn't ask a pink. Hey! Okay, now I'm going pretty far with this, aren't I? Here's the bottom line. By the time he's done, the rock is going to be something beautiful, but the rock hated it the entire time. Why did you put that chisel in my life at work? Why did you put that chisel in my life and my family? Why did you put that chisel in my life at church? I thought that was a refuge. I'm supposed to get everything just easy at church, right? I have found some of the biggest chisels in my life have been at church. And God will mold and shape. And if we can just understand, here's the thing. It's going to happen because God is committed to working in our lives. So it's going to happen. We can handle it two ways. We can grumble and complain the whole time and talk about how it's not fair. Or we can say, okay, now I've got it. I understand that you're going to chisel away at me. It's going to hurt. Chunks are going to be broken off. I'm going to not look at anything like I look now by the time you're done. But because I know it's painful, because I know you're doing it, I mean, although it's painful, I can put up with this. Okay, I don't like it. I have to admit it, Lord. I don't like it. It hurts. I don't like to hurt. I don't like pain. But go ahead. And if we'll let God do it, God will make us more like Jesus. Don't you guys want to be more like Jesus? I hate to use the old cliche, and I've said it a billion times, but it's so appropriate here. There are two things that happen to Christians as we go through our life, and God brings out the chisels. We either get bitter or we get better. The bitter is our heart gets hard, and I don't know that I can forgive them. And I think this is, and God said, I'm doing this. You're grumbling against me. Don't you see I put them in your life? Don't you see I had them say that? Don't you see that I moved that situation to be that way? Lord, that's you. Yes. If you'll just let me do it and stay humble, I'll make you like my son. My son, the true rock, who is beautiful to me. And I'm molding you and shaping you, my bride, to be what I want you to be forever. See, it's a beautiful thing if we can understand it. Can we evaluate? You know, is it okay to look at someone maybe? Because you can't take this to the extreme. Now, stay with me. If you take this to the extreme and say, okay, Mark, then every authority in my life or every circumstance is a good one. God, you wanted this person to come and to, you know, rape a family member. No. Or God, you wanted there to be a false teacher at our church. No. You have to evaluate. You have to use the word of God to evaluate. So understand there's a difference. This is not a blanket statement. This could be used by certain leaders to really lord over people. And I've even heard pastors say things like, don't question God's anointed, you know. You guys have probably heard that. And they try to put themselves in a position where they're too high to even question. They're the authority and whatever. And it's like, no. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, test the spirits to see whether they be of the Lord or not. And Paul talked about the Bereans. He said he went to different churches and taught. He said, when I went to Berea, they were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians because the Bereans didn't just believe everything I said. They went to the Bible to make sure it was true. So making sure that somebody is teaching the Bible right, making sure that someone is living for the Lord accurate, those are things we are required to do. Is everybody with me? We're not to just kind of let people run over us and do whatever and it be something demonic. I'm just giving us the balance here to understand that when God does put us in a place where we know that God has called that person, where we know that God has called us to be there, then we need to say, okay, God, whatever you're doing, go for it. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to grumble. I'm not going to complain. Change me. I'm ready. And let God do it. You know, I'm telling you, if we can learn to let God use the authorities in our life, then our life is so much easier. God taught me that lesson early on as a baby Christian. And if we don't learn how to be men and women under authority, then we can never be men and women in authority. So there's the proper balance there. This is when we get in trouble, when we start grumbling or complaining against circumstances and or leaders who are simply doing and teaching what God has asked them to do and teach. That's when we get in trouble with God. Why? Because it's God who put them there. And God who is directing and controlling them. Doesn't mean they're perfect. It just means God's in control. And this is what we'll see tonight with Moses and the children of Israel. Now, as we jump into chapter 16 here, remember last time we left off, they'd been preserved from thirst. They had the whole thing there where they went to the desert and they couldn't find any water after 3 days. They began to grumble and complain against Moses and Aaron. They're going to do the same thing. Now, again, I want to just speak a little bit of grace here because these are baby Christians. At this point, God is extremely gracious. They are baby Christians. Baby Christians grumble. But God expects us to grow. God expects us to mature. And if we're still grumbling after, 10 years down the road, there's a problem. We need to be maturing. Really, we shouldn't be grumbling after 5 years down the road. We should be saying, God, I trust you, and maybe have an occasional stumble and we lose it or something, but not living a life of... And I've seen Christians that do that. They live a life of grumbling, a life of complaining, a life of bitterness. And it's horrible because they basically live their whole life out in the wilderness. And that's another picture that God gives us. These are the kind of people that live their life in the wilderness spiritually, and they die in the wilderness spiritually because they never get to go into the promised land. Why? Because they're only bitter and grumbling and everything's wrong and they can't move on in Christ. If we're going to be those that can take the fullness that God has promised us down here, we've got to grow beyond this, guys. And some of you are probably being challenged right now tonight because you've got an issue or you've got a person or you've got something going on. God's saying, it's time to move on. It's time to grow. I want to take you into what I've promised. I have so much for you, but you're going to die. You're going to live your life in a spiritual wilderness and you're going to die there if you don't let me work. And so that's where it started here again last week with them grumbling against Moses and Aaron. They didn't have any water. They're baby Christians. It's okay. That's all right. And so God does it. Now we see chapter 16. That was the first test was water. Now we see a test of hunger. Look at verse 1. And they journeyed from Elim. And again, this is the children of Israel traveling through the wilderness after they'd come out of Egypt. They journeyed from Elim and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. That's kind of funny, isn't it? I know it doesn't mean that, but so, which is between Elim and Sinai on the 15th day of the second month, and they departed from the land of Egypt. And then the entire congregation of the children of Israel, i.e. baby Christians, all right, I'm not taking up for them, but I'm giving them grace here, complained against the pastor and his assistant. I'm telling you, that's exactly what we're looking at. Against Moses and Aaron. I don't like that pastor. I don't like what the assistant pastor said. I don't think of that, whatever, That happens with a baby. It's okay. It's a baby Christian. I'm not saying it's okay, but it happens. And notice they complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat. Literally, the King James calls it the flesh pots. I like that a lot better because that's what they're doing is living after the flesh. And when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the entire assembly with hunger. Moses and Aaron just wanted to see them grow. Moses and Aaron just wanted to love them. Moses and Aaron just wanted to give them instruction so they could grow in their faith and they could make it to the promised land. And when it got hard, what happened? Rather than allowing God to use Moses and Aaron in their life, what'd they do? They grumbled and complained and they blamed Moses and Aaron. Pretty intense. False accusation. You just led us here to kill us. Again, it's the exact opposite. He led them there so they might have life. They would be saved from the bondage of Egypt. But if they're Moses and Aaron, they're blaming. And notice the whole congregation coming against them. This is not, again, not a pleasant situation for Moses and Aaron. There were a lot of them. This is over 2 million people. How would you like it if you were leading a church of over 2 million people and they all were against you? Think about that. Any ministry, anything you're leading, over 2 million people, and they all don't like you. And the sad thing is we see they do this the entire 40 years. Were it not for God intervening, more than once in supernatural power, they would have killed Moses. I mean, they tried to kill him more than once. Man, tough situation, but how sad for both of them. Again, those complaining who are living the miserable life and Moses and Aaron who had to put up with them. But again, it's the thing of growing past it. They're saying basically it would have been better to have died than to follow you here. How sad. Because really what they're saying, they'd rather have stayed in Egypt or the world unsaved than be with the children of God and follow his direction. But guys, here's the difference. The difference is eternity. It's those who know the Lord and those who don't. What a great disservice we do. Sometimes following the Lord is hard. It's hard to follow the Lord. And the children of Israel finding that out. God will test us with different things. God is now testing them to see whether or not they trust if God will provide their needs. Who's going to pay the rent? How am I going to buy groceries? What are we going to do? You know, who's going to cover the electric bill? Whatever. God will take all of us there as believers. At some point, he'll take us there where there's a little bit of a question so that he'll find out, do you trust me or not? Do you really think I will? Then God's going to test us. And that's where the real test comes in, how we respond to it. I have to say that a lot of times when these tests have come, I haven't done so good. And then there's other times the tests will come and I do good. And it's because I remember what God did before. It's a great disservice to tell anybody, give your life to Jesus and everything's great. Life will be easy. Don't worry about it, right? That is a huge disservice, guys. Don't tell anybody. Look, if somebody says they want to give their life to the Lord, say, are you sure you want to do this? This is hard. Now, my job is to tell you about the Lord and to lead you to Christ, but are you sure you want to do this? Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It's going to be hard, and God's going to test you, and then the enemy's going to come against you and fight against you. You know, it's bittersweet for me as a dad to watch my girls step out in ministry. Lielle has stepped out really boldly in ministry. All the girls do ministry at their different levels. But Lielle doing this little class with the girls, and I remember when she stepped out to do this, I started thinking, she's going to really get whacked. Because, see, the enemy doesn't care. Well, come on, she's a kid. So lay off her, guys, till she gets older, and then we're coming after her. He would like to kill her because she's doing a Bible study with some other girls. He would like to kill me. He'd like to kill you. Now, God won't let him, but I've been praying for her, and if you think about it, pray for her. You know, just, you know, she's doing the class while and really getting beat up here lately. And she just came in my office, you know, it's like, it's really hard, Dad. And I said, honey, you're really coming under attack. I said, when an adult steps on the battlefield, it is hard. When a kid who hasn't been as weathered or seasoned steps on the battlefield, it's even harder. She's getting beat up. She's getting whacked from all sides, all kinds of things going on. I just pray for her. That's what I'm doing. I'm praying for her. I lift her up. And the neat thing about it is she's not going to quit. She knows what it is. She recognizes the spiritual battle. And she's like, she's not going to quit. She's going to keep going. But we have to realize that when people give their life to the Lord and they say, I'm going to step in the battlefield, you know, it's just a lie. It'd be like telling a soldier, you know, you're in the heat of battle in, say, Iraq or Afghanistan or maybe a more heated battle like Vietnam or something that's running all the time. And the soldier's getting ready to jump out of the helicopter and land down in the fields. And you say, you know what? This is great. You're going to love this. It's really easy. And you never get hurt. There's no real challenges. You'll never be afraid. Nobody really shoots at you. And if they do, they miss by a mile. Go have fun. Go have a good time. And by the time you're done with them, they're yelling, we, as they're jumping out of the helicopter. Until the reality of the ground hits and the bullets start whizzing by their helmet. And they hit the ground and go, this is not what I was told in boot camp. Now, they don't do that. They warn the soldiers. They teach them. They know that. But I'm using an analogy. How should we be any different with baby believers? It's going to be easy, man. This, all your problems are solved and whatever. You say, you know what? This is going to be a real challenge. You're going to have to sacrifice things. You're going to get whacked on all sides. You're going to be falsely accused. You're going to be attacked. You're going to have the world hate you. All these things are going to happen. Are you sure you want to do this? And I'm not saying we should try to talk them out of it. But I think sometimes we need to let them know, you know, once they give their life, I don't think it's appropriate that day. You know, they come give their life to the Lord, come forward, you know, and you go down and tell them you're going to die. You know, it's probably not the best thing to do. But as soon as you start discipleship, they come to Christ and you sit down and begin to disciple them. I think we really need to tell them. We need to be honest and say, look, I want you to know something. This is not going to be easy. This is going to be hard. You've got to make a commitment. If you don't make a commitment, you're not going to make it. You're going to walk away or else fall back in the world. Because the enemy's going to come at you with all of his guys. He's going to try to pull you away.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Maybe you've heard these things mentioned in the book of Exodus before, or perhaps you're hearing it for the first time. Exodus is one of those books where it's undeniable, observing God's power and might in what He does through His people and for His people. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Exodus next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series, plus much more, at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. Before we close, we want you to know that if you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark in the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community. And through this radio outreach, there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Exodus, so be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.